Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good afternoon, Chicago. And what, I stress the word good. I mean, geez, this is the days that you yearn for. I mean, you're outside and you just step out and that sun just beats down on your face. At least out in LaGrange, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was just a crisp, beautiful blue. And I just sat there today. And I was like, you know what? You got to be grateful.
I don't mean to burst your bubble, but we're going to pay for this in March. Mike Hammernick was already talking about that. Womp, womp, womp.
No, my friend. Be present. Enjoy this moment. Because this is all we got. This is all that's real is this moment right now.
It's definitely shorts weather. Even though some people are like, no, it's shorts. Too cold. Yeah, I would put shorts on.
I wouldn't. I'm just saying, man, look, this is a gift. And sometimes when you receive a gift like this, you got to just take a second and just soak it in.
We got to take some vitamin D today because
this is it.
It's 8 days without it.
It's it, man. You just got to be grateful for days like this. And really, I mean, I sat there today, stepped out of my house, was playing with my kids on the front lawn. And I was like, you know what, man? Who cares what's going on in life? Who cares about the life situations everyone has? You just got to be present and enjoy these moments, you know? Especially in February to get a 60-something degree weather.
We broke record, by the way, 137 years that we did not go over 60 on a weekend like this, and we went over it. We're 65.
And there's the news update from David Miranda from Telemundo. What's up,
Dave? Not today.
This is Dave Miranda. This is Dave Miranda from WGN.
News.
News, right. Yeah, Dave, so people don't know, Dave, my producer, is also, he's a pretty famous Spanish newscaster as well.
At least this week I was. I was out in the streets in Joliet and Cicero, everywhere, covering Valentine's Day at senior citizens' home. It was so adorable. They crowned the king and queen of Valentine's Day.
Really?
They become little kids again. It's adorable.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah, so it's an honor to have Dave here. I'm grateful for Dave today, too. I'm just grateful today.
I'm grateful for you, Frank, because
that's what this
I'm
weather does
from
to me,
you.
To be honest with you. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Yeah, we got a good show today, speaking of grateful. For those who love antiquing, and love that show, Antique Roadshow, where the folks come out and they bring their antiques and they get them appraised. Well, check this out. The McHenry County Historical Society does this this annual antique appraisal event where for $7 you can go there and bring your old stuff and maybe, just maybe, you're sitting on a gold mine. Can you imagine that? You go there and you got your grandma's, old plates. And lo and behold, an appraiser says, you're sitting on a $5,000 value with these plates.
Maybe jewelry, maybe glassware, maybe, you said plates.
You name it. Could be anything. Could be old artwork. Could be vintage, silverware.
Dolls? Porcelain dolls.
They scare me, those things. Those old dolls are scary.
You feel like they're like that movie Annabelle?
Annabelle.
That scary movie?
Yeah. Oh, yes. That scares me. I don't like those dolls. So yeah, we have the folks from McHenry County Historical Society joining us first. They brought in some goods, some things that could be seen at the event and praise as well. And then we'll take your calls and questions too. They won't be actual appraisers here in studio, so reserve those calls. Although I could give you a guesstimate if you want. I don't know how accurate it'd be, but I'll give it a shot. Might be worth 2 cents.
Maybe they'll make it out to you. Convince them to go out there or nay. Either they go or they won't.
I would go. I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. I got a crap load of stuff. My grandmother gave me a whole bunch of old Sicilian coffee cups, these little espresso cups that I believe got to be at least 130 years old. Maybe.
Well, maybe you could have vacation money, Frank.
That would be great. Yeah, we'll see. That would be nice. I'd like to go on vacation. My wife's listening, and I love you, honey, and I love the kids, and we desperately need a vacation. We haven't taken a break since we stopped filming our show, and as we just rolled right into real world work, writing a book, doing this show. We desperately need a break.
I mean, writing at 4 in the morning, I would say you needed a break as of a month ago.
Yeah. But listen, money don't sleep. You got to work harder and smarter than the next guy. That's how you get ahead.
Yeah, I saw
that
something
was from
on Facebook.
Gordon Gekko, by the way.
Yeah. I saw something on Facebook that said, "Don't stop because you're tired. Stop because you're done."
Good. I like that.
I saw that on Facebook, and that was my thought of the day. So I'm like, yep, that's me. That's me today. That's me the rest of my life.
Thanks for sharing that, Dave. Today's going to be a very inspirational show. You know, this show is not just about design, decor, and home improvement. It's about improving the life within that home. In our slogan, if you heard me on Bill and Wendy's show this week on WGN, Wendy had me repeat the slogan like 100 times. It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement. And that's what we're all about in the show. It means more to me to really, when I do a makeover, or I do a design, or I do a renovation, to see the people live in that space after we're done, to see the reactions, to see that house become a home is everything to me. That's the whole reason why I do what I do. I like to get paid too. But the bigger reason is purely to share that joy and a transformation. And today we're talking transformations. We're bringing back one of our house favorites, Astrologer to the Stars, Ann Nordhaus Bike is back. That's right, folks. Don't start calling in yet, but Ann will be doing free astrology readings on the air. And you can call in, and this is the procedure. If you haven't heard the show before, you want to give us your sign, give us your statement of what's going on in your world at that moment. You know, what things you want to see or know about, whether it's your job, whether it's your relationships, whether it's the personal feelings you're going through, because a lot of it, believe it or not, if you're not into astrology or if you're not into metaphysical spirituality, that's okay. But let me tell you, this stuff, astrology, is based on the original science of time, space, and energy. And the early geniuses of the world knew this and guided the world on the astrology principles. It was the original science. So we're going to learn more about that and get into what's going on in your life. And then to back that up, I'm bringing in a great guy, good friend, and renowned expert, Dr. John Duffy. He's the author of a couple books. You see him on the Steve Harvey Show. And he's going to be joining us because we're going to, in tandem, help you out here. And what I mean by that is when we get through the astrology side of things, we're going to have Dr. Duffy in studio with us talking about how, from a psychological perspective, things all come together. Like, what is your thought processes that may be contributing to the positions you are in your life, whether it is relationships, whether it is with your children, whether it's your job? You know, and I think the two-pronged approach with Ann and John is going to be very fascinating. And I'll explain as we get into that segment why I brought these two powerhouses of the world together in the studio. Check it out now, it's the Antiques Roadshow. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. Where did you find this music, Dave?
This happens to be the remix of the Antique Roadshow. Yeah, with Joe Conish, I think he is.
Fascinating. I think I want this as my new ringtone. Anyway, what a good segue into our next segment here. Joining us in studio is Kurt Bengalka. Is that correct?
Bengalka, yep.
Bengalka and Kim Borgensen, both with the McHenry County Historical Society. And guys, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
I was talking to Dean Richards just before he left. He said, wouldn't it be cool if we can actually louver these windows open so that people can actually, you know, come in and attack us while we're doing our show. Well, but I really did get the fresh air to come in here, but I would imagine that would happen. People couldn't contain themselves. You got to see what happens here during Lollapalooza.
Ooh.
It's awesome. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about what you guys do here, because I'm fascinated by the idea of antique appraisal.
Well, this is our fifth year. We have this antique appraisal event. It's kind of like a local roadshow. So we get local appraisers to come in. They donate their time. And we do different categories from jewelry to toys to general appraisals, which include, you know, art and anything that somebody's got in their attic that's been there for 25 years.
So there's no wrong thing to bring.
No. I mean, we have certain categories. If we get a demand for a lot of things, like we added clocks this year. We haven't had in the past because we had a lot of people saying, hey, when are you going to appraise clocks? So,
yeah, in your history of doing this, is the fifth time you're doing it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so
yep.
in congratulations, by the way.
Thanks.
I think that's awesome. What is the most unusual thing and or experience where somebody came in and an appraiser said, you got gold here? Have you had those experiences over the course of 5 years?
I think we had some jewelry that came in that was, you know, older stuff. I had an old green Hornet car that I got as a kid.
Yeah.
And you got to keep the box. That's a good rule of thumb.
So there is rules to this. Can you shed some light on some of the things that add value to, you know, the appraisal?
Well, I'm not an appraiser, which is why we bring in the professionals to do it. But generally speaking, yeah, I've noticed you want to keep the box. You don't want to do a lot of restoration to something, you know, and fix it up because you could actually hurt the value of it.
And then so even if it's a little crack or some damage on it, leave it as is, bring it in.
Right, right, until you have and Kim Borgeson is with us. So she's been trained in how to keep our antiques and artifacts correct. And a lot of times people will do wacky things, like they'll, you know, draw with a marker on the back of a picture. Or
Kim, how did you learn your trade? Like, what qualifies one to be an expert in this?
Well, I went to school for it. I graduated with my bachelor's and master's from Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, and I got a lot of hands-on experience through the university's museum.
Let's go back. Let's take it a step back there. How did you, a young gal, get interested in such antiquity?
Well, I really liked the topic of history in school, but I knew I didn't want to be a teacher. So I started volunteering at my local historical museum in Elk Grove, and the curator there kind of took me under her wing and started teaching me things, and I thought, this is pretty cool. I'm seeing a lot of old stuff, a lot of unique stuff, especially from my hometown, and then that's when I decided to pursue it as a career.
Do you consider yourself an old soul?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Kurt and I were talking about it. I was yawning on the way here because I had to work late last night. And he said I should bounce back really quick, but...
If you had your choice, what era would you have liked to have grown up in?
I would say the 40s or 50s, but I am partial to good air conditioning, so...
Yes, yes.
As evident by today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, so what do you do there then? So people come in, and do you advise them on what not to do to their stuff?
Well, they call up, and people have until through Monday to make an advanced registration, or they can just show up and take their chances, but they let us know what the object is, then we let the appraisers know, and then they come in, and we have Wi-Fi and other sources that the appraisers use to try to get a value of what these are, and they're really good too. If it's something just like totally off the wall, they'll make a point of getting back with them later on and giving them a...
So we got a call coming in. Marty wants to talk to us about his collection. Hey, Marty.
How do you do, Frank? You have a wonderful, wonderful radio voice.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
That.
Hi,
You're
guys.
So sweet.
My name is Marty.
Hello, Marty.
I'm a big collector of lots of things, but my main collections are creamers. I love creamers with the spout. No sugar. I never broke up a duo at a garage sale, but I do buy creamers.
Are you talking about like the little cow shaped ones, or like the?
Every style, honey. I've got my main thing is to you. I have carnival glass creamers.
Carnival glass. What is? Explain to the audience what that is.
Well, carnival glass is the glass they would blow in the 20s, and the colors are amber, green, cranberry. And I have some of those clear colored glass creamers. Have you heard of them, your guest stars?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I bet you have, of course.
Yeah, we have an appraiser, Lynn Eltravoog, who's really good at glass. Uh-huh. And she would be the person to talk to about that.
Marty, have you ever had this stuff appraised?
No, that's why I'm in the market right now. I'm 75 years old, and I have 400 creamers.
Holy cow.
I know. I'm a collector of stuff.
You're a collector of tchotchkes, I like to call it.
Tchotchkes. So can I call this woman, or can I go see her, or what?
Well, why don't we give the information out right now, how people can go
check this out. Yeah, the best way to do this is you can go on our website, which is gothistory.org.
Ooh.
Really easy to remember.
Yeah, I'm writing it. Gothistory.org.
Correct, yeah. And there's a link on there for the appraisals and what... categories there are and how you can register. So give us a holler tomorrow.
And I could actually, they'll get back to me.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I also am a huge collector of cookbooks.
What's the value on stuff like that?
cookbooks. It's all over the map. Yeah, I mean,
Early, like give us some chef names.
20s, 30s.
We do two big festivals a year. One is called the Heritage Fair, and it's July 9th this year. And part of that, we do a huge, what's called a white elephant sale.
I love it. Where's it at?
In Union, Illinois.
Union,
Illinois. So you
where's that near?
Hop the tollway to 20 and turn west.
Really?
It's got a huge, we got huge shelves of antique books in there.
Oh, my goodness.
Marty, did we just make your day?
Oh, yeah. Plus, I have a huge, huge, huge collection of little teeny items, caricatures from McDonald's, from Hardee's, from Burger King.
Okay, that would be.
Why doesn't that not surprise me? I mean,
I got like 2,000 of them.
2,000 of them.
And I store them in popcorn tins, very clean popcorn tins. And when I had knee surgery, a few years back, guess what? I sorted them into all Disney, all craziness.
It sounds like we should be broadcasting live from Marty's house.
Yeah. Does anyone look at those, you guest stars?
We have a toy appraiser.
Uh-oh, there we go.
So that would be the category you'd want. You can bring up to 3 items. So
okay. You have to choose wisely.
Yeah, choose wisely.
I will. And where's that at?
In the same place. It's in our museum. It's on Main Street in Union, Illinois. So.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
Hey, Marty, quick question before we let you go here. And we only have about a minute and a half. So,
I know.
So check this out.
Thank you for
taking
my call.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure. You're amazing.
What
sparked your love for collecting all these interesting things?
Well, I worked for 27 years full time. Then I worked 10 years as a part timer because I raised 4 kids. Okay.
God bless you.
And when I retired 6 years ago, I went to every weekend garage sale. Church rummage sale. I won every weekend. And now I'm overwhelmed. My house, my kids are like, I can't believe what you've done.
It's time for an intervention, Marty.
And it's an intervention, and I got to get an appraiser and get this stuff out of here.
Awesome. All right, Marty, we got you covered.
Thank you. Bye, Frank.
You
bye,
got it. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for coming in. We are taking your calls. Let's go ahead to Tony, who's been waiting for a little while. Tony, thanks for calling the show.
Okay, first of all, hi to Marty. She was a great gal. I'm a collector like she is. I'd love to know her. I wonder if she has a boyfriend.
Hey, you know what? We could be a matchmaking service here, Tony. I could certainly. Hey, Marty, if you're still listening, why don't you call on back? You heard Tony. Tony, what do you look like?
I'm good looking. I'm 65 years old. I've got brown hair, full head of hair. I work out every day. I'm much younger.
Look at you. And, Marty, you listening? You want to call back? We could certainly make a love match happen right now. This is a beautiful thing.
Type, that's for sure. I love people with personality.
You could talk about your little tchotchkes together. You can exchange. You can do trades. I mean, this could be a match made in heaven, Tony.
Absolutely. You know, this has kind of saved my life collecting because I get out in the fresh air and the sunshine and I walk, and it's good for me to get out and it's good for me to move. And I buy things. I don't have a lot of money, but I buy paintings and oil paintings.
That's awesome.
I found a painting at a flea market, okay. And it was signed by Souza, S-O-U-Z-A, Souza.
Souza,
It shows a man carrying a violin case, which is painted an orangeish red color, and he's dressed in a brown coat and wears a cap. And I found out the artist is Francis Newton Souza, and he's a pretty prominent painter, but I had no idea how much it would be worth. And actually, I got into a fight when I was leaving the flea market. The young guy came up to me and said, do you know how much that painting is worth? And I said, nope, I bought it because I like it. And he said, well, I'll give you $100 for it right now. And I said, no, young man, I want to keep my painting. I like it. And I had a friend in over the holidays. See, nobody will ever tell you anything about what you have. You want to know, is the painting good? Is it worth anything? They all want to buy it, so I know that it must be good. I'm just wondering if the appraisers have ever heard of Francis Newton Souza.
Kim, have you heard of the artist?
I have not, but that doesn't mean it's not worth something.
Well, I think that, Debbie from Iron Horse Antiques from Crystal Lake, she does a lot of our art appraisals. So that's the type of thing that you would need to bring to her. But, you know, I never buy art unless I like it.
Yeah, it starts there, right? Yeah, you got to start with the art you love. And then, so Tony, have you since purchased this, gone to an appraiser to see maybe, is there just tremendous value in this? Have you found like the hidden Picasso or something?
I think it's really an important painting, Frank. I had a friend of mine come in over the Christmas holidays, and he saw the painting. He said, Tony, my God. He said, that's a South. I said, Francis Newton South. He said, yeah. He said, it's really, really valuable. I said, what are we talking about, John? How much would... He said, probably about $700,000 to $800,000. He said, they're really valuable.
Wow. I mean, this is that's classical money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have called Christie's, and they have an appraiser that's coming to Chicago, and they want to take a look at it. But I was just hoping that maybe somebody there knew something about the painting. What? I actually put it into a storage unit because I got scared when my friend John told me that it is so valuable. He said he was like the Picasso of India.
Interesting. Well, Kim can tell you a little bit more of how to handle that until you get the appraiser out there. Kim, what should he do?
Well, definitely you want to keep it in a cool climate. So right now, if it's not an insulated storage unit, being in Chicago when it's winter, it's probably cold enough where it's not going to affect the oil in the paints.
Okay.
And when you're handling it, it would be best if you wore gloves because the oil on your skin can damage the frame. It won't do it instantly, but over time. I'm sure it's been handled by a lot of people, especially if you bought it at a flea market.
Yes.
So if you want to just get some gloves, cotton gloves, that would be best. And always pick it up by the sides.
Is it framed or is it just on a canvas?
True.
It's got an old frame on, a wooden frame, and it's very colorful and very, very interesting. And it's signed in the right-hand side, Souza, S-O-U-C-A, Souza.
So, Tony, the other thing I'd be concerned with, just from knowing wood and the material, with the change in temperature, wood contracts and expands, so the frame might actually split in the corners. Just look out for that. So, make sure your storage environment, like she's saying, is insulated so that it avoids the frame itself starting to pull apart.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get it out of there today. I got gloves. I'll get it out. I know exactly where it is, and I'll bring it home and stick it in my closet until this appraiser comes.
Put it under your mattress so nobody finds
right.
it.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Don't do that.
Maybe I'll bring it out to McHenry and let you guys look at it, too.
Tony, I would highly recommend you do that, because before your Christie's folks come out, just in the event that maybe this might be a knockoff or something, you maybe get somebody with some qualified eyeballs on it. And they can certainly do that. And how would he find that information?
Just go to the website at gothistory.org, and there's a link right on there to the appraisal event. So,
by the way, Tony, just before I let you go, a texter, and I don't know how real this is, a texter just texted in from 708. I just Googled Souza, and one of his paintings have sold for $4 million.
Oh, my goodness.
And, Tony, if this is true, please cut me at least 5% for just...
Oh, my goodness.
I would... Tony, honestly, listen. If this is real, I need you to come back on the show after you go to the Historic Society event and get the appraisal and tell me how much it's worth. I'll bring you live on my show. You bring the painting with you.
I'll contact you and I'll come right back. I'll come on. But I'm going to go get that painting now and bring it home.
Dave Miranda is my producer. Dave, get Tony's information, and once he goes to get this appraised, I want him live on the show. All right, Tony, and to boot, if you come, I'll get Marty to come too.
I thank you so much for your help. Really,
you got
you
it.
Very much.
All right, you got it. Wow, could you imagine?
Wow,
could you imagine that Tony sitting on the phone right now is holding a painting that's potentially worth even $1 million?
Well, even $700,000.
Even $50,000. I mean, for Christmas sakes, he picked it up for under $100 at a flea market. Insanity.
Yeah. Wow.
But that's the beauty of antiquing, right?
Absolutely.
You never know what gold mines you're sitting on.
Absolutely.
Let's take some more calls. We got a bunch of calls. Let's go. Joe, hey, you've been waiting. How are you?
Real well. Probably not as exciting. But
tell me about it. You got some slot machines?
Yeah, I have a slot machine I adhere to when my folks passed away. It's an all wooden box. I'd say it's from the 1930s to 1940s. It's all mechanical. It's a 10-cent machine. And I just wonder, is there any place you know of that restores them or gives them a clean bill of health? I mean, it works, but is there a value to it?
Kim, you got some advice for Joe?
Well, I do know of a conservator that's here in Chicago. It's a conservation center over on Walcott, and they are a little bit pricey, but they're the best in the city, in my opinion. They can take a broken vase and make it whole again, and you wouldn't even know.
And Joe, are you looking to sell this or just restore it?
You know, I have no, I don't need the dough. I'd like to keep it. It's kind of an heirloom. But the back was taken off of it. I don't know why. It's a metal back. So, other than that, I mean, it is 100% there.
Maybe somebody was trying to get out the cash that was inside of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Well,
it really is a collector's item. I know that.
Well, great. So, Kim, can you share that information one more time?
The Conservation Center, and you can Google that. Just Conservation Center Chicago, and it'll bring up their website. And they have a bunch of different conservators who specialize in different areas. So they have frame restorers, painters, general artifact restorers, and they could probably point you in the right direction.
Okay.
All right, Joe.
Well,
thanks.
Thank you. Hope that helps.
You got it.
All right. You bet.
All right, let's take one last call before you guys head out, and then we'll give the folks information on where they can find the event. Scott, you're on the phone with Frank, Kurt, and Kim.
I have a question. I've had a vintage poster for about 7 years now, and I've been looking online and stuff what it's worth, and a lot of the websites say $5,000. It's a Claude Monet. It's a cognac. It's pretty popular print.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told that it's an original because of the size it is. It's I believe it's like 47 inches by like 70 inches. And I've contacted a few art dealers, and they're somewhat interested in it, but nobody's really, you know, had too much interest in it. And I'm wondering if they know of some place where I could contact it with. I mean, I know I see them for sale for $5,000, but I mean, I'm willing to take less than that just to liquidate it.
Sure. Will there be people at the event that can help out, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I should mention that this is $7 for an item, a maximum of 3 items. If you register in advance, the day of the event, which is next Saturday, it'll be $9. So what you're getting for this, because it's very reasonable, is just a short verbal appraisal. You're not getting something that's going to be written documentation.
No certificate yet.
Correct. Right. So you got to keep that in mind. Something like that, I think you got to get it out ahead of time to somebody to research. That's not like, you know, something that people are normally going to come across, and it's going to take a little legwork to figure out what that is.
Well, yeah, Scott, I would suggest if I were you, I would definitely head out to the event. It's going to be taking place Saturday, February 25th at the museum, 6422 Main Street in Union. It'll be there pretty much from 1 to 4?
1 to 4, and you just hop out on the tollway and exit on 20, and it's right down the road. Just follow the brown signs that say museum.
All right, we're going to switch gears here from antiques to the soul. Digging deep, folks. We're going to be focusing more on the second half of the show about living in that home, right? Not just about the stuff in it, not the antiques you fill it with, but how you function in that space. You know, when it comes to doing home renovation, one of the most common things I hear is the anxiety, the anticipation of the actual process in the projects and what they're going to go through. And you know, you hear this, you know, jokingly all the time about, will my relationship, you know, withstand the test of time through the renovation? Joining me to talk about the topic and to be hanging out with us for the rest of the show, Dr. John Duffy. You hear him here on the Bill and Wendy Show and many others. You've seen him on Steve Harvey Live. You maybe read his books or seen him on the Today Show. Today he's here with us. John, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Frank. Glad to be here.
It's always good to see you, John. So, John, what's your thoughts as a clinical psychologist on this, in this topic of anxiety, because this is your world?
Yes.
Why do people build this up for themselves when it comes to a home renovation project?
You know, I think it just gets so foreboding, you know, and people put these things off, and they're expensive and they're unknown. You know what I mean? The costs are unknown. And I worked with a couple recently, and the day when they did demolition on just their kitchen, they were just renovating one room of their house, was devastating to them because it was like, oh, we can't go back now. You know, that we are now committed to something,
right,
and we're not sure exactly what this is going to look like. We're not sure what each step is going to look like, and we're going to disagree. We're going to argue, you know? And not every part of a relationship contains built-in likely disagreements, but remodeling undoubtedly does.
It's when you talk about demolition, I mean, it really, from the soul, it's demo on your body, it's demo on your mind, it's physical, it's mental, and the attachment, the emotional attachment to the things and the possessions we have. You know, people stand around their kitchens more than any other space in their home.
Correct.
You know, and to demo a kitchen is like pulling out somebody's heart sometimes, even though they want it. Their soul is embedded into this.
Yeah, I think we forget, and maybe that's another part of the anxiety around this, is we forget how meaningful our home is. We forget how, you know, we kind of wrap our lives in this space, right? You know, and so to change the space, even a little bit, you know, I've worked with people who like have moved a couch, and it felt like, that brings me more anxiety than I'm comfortable with, you know?
Right.
And so we get kind of married to the idea of, you know, home being this place of stability that's kind of hard and fast and solid, a foundation for our lives, you know? And when that foundation shifts and changes, I think that's tricky for families and couples. I think it does increase anxiety, undoubtedly.
Let's take a step back. What is anxiety?
Yeah. Anxiety is kind of a deep-seated fear of what we either don't know, haven't experienced yet. It's kind of placing yourself in the future. And I always think of anxiety as borrowing trouble. So we kind of think of something and we create these scenarios that are highly unlikely to happen. But we think about the worst scenarios, you know, and when we consider like, ooh, but what if this happens? And we worry and ruminate unnecessarily, and it builds and it grows and it festers. And often it becomes diagnostic. It becomes a real problem in somebody's life.
So you do believe that what you think you become?
Absolutely. Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you know, part
so even of if it doesn't exist, even if it never exists in your life, what you focus on becomes a reality.
Absolutely. That's where the law of attraction, I think, is most potent. I really do.
And you're a clinical psychologist that is speaking in a metaphysical manner, so to speak, to say that there is a correlation scientifically to what we're talking about.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And, you know, and I can speak to like doing this for 20 years, and you can feel it. You can feel when people are drawn to negative thinking, they attract negative things into their lives, negative events, negative occurrences. When people are really positive and upbeat, well, they tend to attract more positive things into their lives. And I hate to make it sound so kind of core and rudimentary and basic, but some things are.
It is. Yeah. I mean, what you're speaking of is anybody listening could say that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
what I put my attention on becomes a reality.
Right.
Now, what I think people don't understand is even though I'm thinking about what I don't want, I'm manifesting what I don't want.
Yeah.
And that's a polar opposite for some people. Like, well, why? I'm saying I don't want this, but yet it's happening in my life. So I'm a victim now.
Right. Right. And I think you and I would both agree, because you and I have had some talks about this kind of thing, that it is that focus. Even if you specifically don't want it, it is just spending that energy in that space that is drawing it to you. You know what I mean? So, you know, I encourage people like in real time in my office to shift their thinking, turn it 180 degrees to, you know, let's not talk about what you don't want. Let's talk about what you want. Let's be ridiculous. Let's be wildly idealistic about what you want to draw into your life. And, you know, this is where kind of miracles in people's lives kind of take place, because I think you can draw amazing things into your life if you focus on those amazing things, you would never anticipate.
Let's do it. For instance, you're in a home renovation.
Yeah.
The walls are coming down literally around you. You and your wife are in turmoil. You can't take the pressures. You're upside down. Your sink isn't working. You're washing bottles in another room. You got to feed your kids, but there's no kitchen there.
Right.
There's physical, actual things, situations in our life that impact the way we feel. To tell somebody easily, hey, just change the way you think. I've heard from a million different people on this topic that as anxiety doctors, the one thing you don't tell somebody with anxiety is, hey, just change the way you feel.
Right. Right, right. No, it's more because it's hard to change the way you feel, especially when you're in the muck of anxiety.
Yeah.
To get yourself out of that is really, really, really difficult. But, you know, to change the way you think about your circumstances, we did a renovation about 5 years ago in my house. And when I think back on the idea that the water was off, we had no kitchen. There was 6 months where, you know, we were living out of a bedroom upstairs.
Like destitute, in our house. Right.
Yes, we were destitute. And yet we think so fondly back on those times. We actually really enjoyed that in real time. And I think that required us thinking like, to put ourselves in the future and think, we're probably going to look back on this. And this is not going to be the worst time of our lives. This is probably not so bad. And we're building something we want. You know, like this is going to be better. This is going to be more the home we're envisioning than less.
Right.
And so to kind of not over focus on those inconveniences, but to focus on where you are and what's amazing and unique about it. You know, it probably drew us closer together as a family in an odd way. You know what I mean? Just because we had to live in this kind of half of our space, maybe a third of our space. You know.
And how old are your kids?
I've got one guy who's 21.
One 21-year-old.
Yes.
And this was 5 years, so he was like, what, 17 around?
Yeah, he was just starting high school, okay. So he was a little younger. Yeah.
How do you think it would have been if, and we got to take a break here soon, but real quick, if the child was like five?
So much trickier. much trickier. You know, there's so many elements of raising a younger kid that I think are so difficult, but the advice remains the same, to like shift the way you think.
All right, let's take a call. We have Beth calling in. Hey, Beth, thanks for calling the show.
Hey. Hi, I wanted to appreciate the doctor's comment, although I felt as if he described more of what occurs because of anxiety. And I am a person that learned how to get off medication and manage my stress in other ways, like certain routines, things like that. So I just wanted to say that as a person looking things up, I found out that stress is something that we need to do the things that we do. But sometimes people have more stress than what they need to do what they need to do. And that's where floating anxiety and things of that type come in.
We've got some buzzing going on in the studio here. Joining me to my right is Dr. John Duffy. Joining across from me is Astrologer to the Stars and Nordhaus Bike. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Great to see you as always.
It is a pleasure. And today we're doing some revolutionary radio. I'm calling it the Hour of Power. We have two brilliant,
fabulous.
Yeah, we have two brilliant minds in the world of psychology and astrology coming together to help you guys out there, the listeners. And we want to open up the phone lines because what we're going to do is we're going to hear your sign. We're going to hear your story. We're going to hear what's going on in your life. Anna's going to apply the metaphysical. She's going to talk to you about how your stars and your signs are impacting your life right now. And then John is going to chime in with the psychological aspects of what may be affecting you or hindering you in your performance. And I'm just going to listen. They're doing my job for me. Just hanging out. Let's get back to Beth, though, who started the call, and we'll recap here.
First of all, I want to say you said two brilliant minds, and you're sitting there, and I'm sitting here. So
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that.
Right,
four
now?
Brilliant minds at one on one radio show, and Damn. It's like overload.
Good for you, Beth. Right on, baby.
So, Beth, let's recap your question quick. What sign are you, Beth, by the way?
I'm a Capricorn.
She knows.
Yes, she does indeed.
Beth, you're
on the 10th.
On the 10th, okay?
Of January.
On January. So let's, should we start with the sign first, or we don't jump right into the question you asked for John?
Let me just tell you my thoughts, because I thought about what you're trying to do, and I said that I had gotten off medication by using stress management. Mm-hmm. But I have to say that the medication was a periodical medication. And I know that there's a lot of people that have anxiety about accumulative medications. And I was one of those people because I'm a creative and artistic person. And I know that David Lynch of Twin Peaks and other projects also refused mental health medication because he thought it would change his perspective and his work. So then when you were talking about the metaphysical aspect.
Yes.
Okay, here's my thing. Let's pretend there's a hailstorm and I'm mad at my boyfriend and the hailstorm came down in the parking lot of where he works.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, man, I wish that hailstorm would wreck his car.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find out his car got wrecked.
Right.
Now, if you're an intuitive person, you wonder, did you wish that, or did you just already know that? And then I guess the other thing is anxiety a lot of times can be that impending doom.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe you're on a road trip and you feel something bad happened at home. So anxiety gets worse when you find out you were right.
Interesting. Doc, what do you say?
That is actually that last point is a really good point. And, you know, and it's in contrast to the floating anxiety you were talking about beforehand.
Right, extra stress.
And Beth, I think if I'm following your thoughts about anxiety right, I think I agree with you. You know, there is a message in our anxiety. And unless, you know, our functioning is wildly disrupted, I think it's important to allow that anxiety to speak to you and to kind of listen to, okay, my body is telling me it is exceptionally uncomfortable right now, and there's got to be a reason for that. So what about the way I think about myself, my world, my future, my life, my home is driving this anxiety? And if we over-medicate, I think we can miss the cue that is organic to us. So
right. In other words, if you've got fight or flight and you should have flown and you stayed, oh, man.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put, Beth. That's right. So I like the, you know, I actually, as a therapist, find anxiety to be a really kind of a handy symptom because it tells you loud and clear, hey, I don't like what's going on here. And it's a message from the body to the mind that is abundantly clear. You know, I'm wildly uncomfortable. There's a surge of adrenaline flowing through me. Do something different or think something different.
And Beth, you know, you mentioned briefly the metaphysical. So now, you know, you got the side of the psychological, the practical. Now, you mentioned...
Yes, I appreciate those comments.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I said yes, and I appreciate those
comments. Now let's focus on, you said the hailstorm comes. Did you intend it? Was it willed? Did it just happen?
That goes to the metaphysical side. Like at that point I was angry, but like if something you think happened at home, you feel like something happened, and then you're anxious about it, and somebody says, don't worry about it, have a beer, and then you go home and your cat got hit by a car or something weird. Then right. You feel like you should have went home, not just forgot about it. So, but when you're angry and you feel something, it's like Carrie, I know she did it, but no, but I'm just saying, if you feel like if you have a thought and then it happens, do you feel like you made it occur?
Well,
or did you just already know it was going to happen? It's just.
So Beth, yes. You're a Capricorn and
yes.
You know, that's an earth sign, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You are a builder
right now.
You're a builder, right?
A builder, yeah.
Every earth sign is very materialistic, very builder. You in particular, you guys climb the high, high mountain, and you want to build an empire or build something huge and something where it requires a lot of patience. So this building mechanism is inside of you in spades. And you're obviously taking a big look at the physical realm, as you have to. It's just part of how Capricorns work. And sometimes you forget the other realms. I don't know if you're creating or not, but I will say this is a huge message to you to be really careful what you think of. The mystics for millennia have said, guard your thoughts. Everything you focus on builds. As for whether you created it, we have all heard stories about people who are highly psychic where stuff starts to happen. It's not just Carrie, but, you know, people who can make lights go on and off, all these kinds of things. You need to be super careful with your thinking. Also, you probably already know this. Capricorn is one of those signs. It's ruled by Saturn, and it's earthy, and it is really prone to stuff like depression, mental health issues, alcoholism, you know, lots of CEOs with drinking problems. These are huge things for you to look for and keep an eye on. And you've already mentioned a few things that indicate you're really savvy about this, so you need to be smart. Since you're so earthy, you really need to balance that with, first of all, always what I recommend for Capricorns is humor. Use your mind. You know, John and Frank were talking about that earlier. To overcome emotions, you can't do it with more emotion. You've got to step back into your mind, step away from it, get the hotness out of it, get into your brain. Get super smart.
All my children say you're not funny, Mom, but I think I am.
Oh, you're hilarious. Cary Grant was a Capricorn. So was Conrad Hilton, but so were these famous boxers, you know?
Oh, I read his book that he leaves in the drawers in the hotel.
Yeah, so you're already attuning with him, you know? Oh, and the artist Cezanne was a Capricorn. You could benefit from looking at Cezanne artwork. It's going to give you some structure to look at. It's going to satisfy that earthy structural part of you, but it's also going to help
Cezanne,
you calm down.
Okay.
Well, Beth, thank you so much. We do have to take a break here. We appreciate your call and your participation in the kickoff.
Oh, I appreciate all of you. So one brilliant mind out. Good luck, three brilliant minds.
Keep listening,
thank
brilliant
you,
mind,
honey.
Beth. Thank you so much.
Bye, Beth. It really helped.
Great, great. We'd love to hear that. And that's what we're here for, folks, is we really want to help you guys out. If you're going through some life situations right now, like we say on the show, the slogan is here, is not just home improvement, it's life improvement. We want to help make your life better. We're taking your calls about your signs, about your life situations going on. We got Ann Nordhaus Bike, astrologer to the stars, a long-term guest on our show. We got Dr. John Duffy. You hear him here on Bill and Wendy's show during the week. Been on Steve Harvey's show regularly. Over 60 somewhat appearances on the show, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's been a lot. Yeah,
that's great. You see him on the Today Show. He's got it. The name of your book again is
The Available Parent,
which, by the way, my daughter was holding today, and I had to take this really cute picture.
The most adorable thing I have seen in a very long time.
John, I kid you not, John, she was holding it the entire morning, wouldn't put it down.
That is the greatest news.
I mean,
she's going to be the best parent.
She is. God bless her. Maybe she can give me some advice. It'd be nice. All right, so let's go back to our phone calls. These phone lines are lit up, and this is how it works, folks. We want to hear your sign. Tell us what's going on in your life, and we'll give you her you know, readings of that, and then John will chime in with some practical psychology behind that, and I will chime in with humor. All right, let's start with, let's see here. James, thanks for holding.
Hi, how are you, Frank?
Doing well, James. How are you?
Good, good. Frank, first off, I just, every time I catch your show, it turns out to be such a great day, and I'm really glad today is one of those days.
James, you just made my day, man. I really appreciate that. That's really,
well,
really
honestly,
nice.
I had my, as a very young man, someone came up to me and said they needed to do a reading on me, and they gave me a whole breakdown of my entire life, basically. And it turned out most of those things came true. I had just gotten married, and they said, oh, you're going to be married multiple times and have multiple children with different people. And I was like, no way. But most everything that was told to me as a very young man seemed to kind of pan out.
Hmm.
I'm much older now. I have since lost that reading. I was born July 21st, 1965. And I'm an incredibly upbeat person. People all the time are like, wow, you're very positive about any and every situation. And I make a positive effort to be that person.
You sound like it.
But yet, turmoil has threaded its way through my life continually, to the fact where I was diagnosed with depression at one point. Mm. And a few years back, I felt the need to just do away with that and give up the traditional lifestyle that I had had for so many years, and now I find that I'm just a wanderer of the world.
Tell us why, James. Tell what happened. What event or chain of events have led you to that?
Well, I that's the question. I don't know the answer to that. I just felt this need to go a few years ago, and so for 3-4 years now, I've just been wandering, traveling. I hiked across the United States last year, and I traveled to Western United States. I just have this need to go and be places, and I wasn't always like that. I was much more focused as a younger man. But
James, honestly, I mean, and I'll just kind of kick this off. It doesn't sound like a bad thing. It sounds like actually pretty fascinating.
It is, but internally, it's satisfying in many ways, but in many ways not.
Okay. John, you want to take a stab at kind of
I
just
do.
Kicking this off? And
yeah.
Then we'll, and what's your sign, James?
I believe I'm a Cancer. July
You're right
21st.
On the edge. That was my first question for
it's
you. You're July 21st.
Yeah.
I would strongly say that you're probably, given what the things that you said, I would say you're either Cancer or you have a lot in your chart. So let's go with you being Cancer.
Okay.
That's basically what I've always been told is I'm a Cancer.
And you're a Cancer, yeah.
Okay, so James, you had this depression diagnosis, and you had this instability in relationships that you suffered, and you decided to do what I call kind of a hard reset. Right, I'm gonna live my life differently.
Exactly.
And I hear, and I agree, by the way, with Frank 100%. That doesn't sound like a bad thing at all. It actually sounds like a really sound hard reset. Like I'm going to do something very, very different because what I'm doing isn't working. That said, I suspect you are in the center of a process, not at the end of it, because I think we're all drawn toward connection. So I would bet that you were out there trying to figure out some things about yourself and learn some things about the world. And at some point, I would guess that you are going to want to re-engage with people and reconnect with people, maybe in a different way than you did when you were younger.
Yeah, I mean, my goal is to reconnect with people and find love again and recreate life. But
you're right on time. You are right on time, James. This is great, great timing, and I'm so glad that you're calling. A few thoughts for you. You're a Cancer, just like Capricorn. You're the opposite of Capricorn. You're on an axis. So both of those signs have issues with depression. I'm not surprised at all. You're a water sign, super emotional, easily led down the crummy garden path with, you know, bad feelings and stuff, and cry easily. You cry at commercials. You don't want people to know that. You're very sensitive.
Unfortunately, that's true.
And super creative. Yes, yes, yes. And it's fabulous, but it can lead to depression. So you have to take really good care of your feelings. Your planet is the moon. The moon is so changeable. You know, if you're not liking how you're feeling, it's changed in 2 minutes. You got to watch that, too, because you can have mood swings and it can be real hard on other people. But I want to offer a couple thoughts for you. Jupiter, the planet of expansion and travel, spent 13 months in your sign in 2014. I don't know if that rings any bells with travel for you, but that would have expanded.
That's basically when I decided that my life needed an about face.
Yeah, and right on time, honey.
I gave up typical living. I gave up my home. I gave up everything, and I just needed to go.
You got the spirit of adventure that's very out of character for a Cancer, because you guys love your homes. Absolutely. You'd hate to leave your home. And so that actually prodded you. That's a good, great thing that astrology does. When the planets move, it forces some change. And this is another thing that's going on. If he's a Cancer, Frank, it's all about the stuff you and I've talked about for the last 4 years on this show, the Uranus-Pluto square. People like James, anybody who's a cardinal sign. So that's Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, hit right on the chin with that. And that's been going on 2012 to 2015. There's more of it kicking back all this year, James.
Isn't that great that we're just going to keep getting hit with baseball bats for the next couple months here or year? That's awesome.
People keep asking me, you know, am I going to settle down? And they're like, oh, you need to, you know, write a book. And I can't bring myself to do that.
It's still an unstable time this year in particular. It will start to settle down, but you've got Pluto sitting across from you until the mid-2020s. It's in Capricorn. So expect your soul to really be coming at you through other people and forcing more change. Just try to be at home wherever you are. What Frank and I talk about, the home is in the inside.
Yep.
Be very soul-based. Pluto's all about the soul.
And James, I got a question for you. What throws me about your story is the way you kind of nonchalantly say that nothing happened and you just kind of fell into this. I don't believe that. I got to say to you that there's probably a chain of events that
I feel there's been turmoil in my life from a very young age.
But give me an example of what you consider turmoil.
Just the uneasy feeling of not knowing.
Which brings us back to anxiety.
It does.
It's hard to explain.
No, we get it. We got it.
That's why we're doing this show, James, because there's a lot of people like you, like me, like everybody, who just kind of want to figure it out.
And, you know, people are constantly telling me, oh, you're such a deep person and very in touch with yourself. But there's a part of me that's completely lost.
You know, I always reference back to the Matrix. You know, it's like you take the blue pill or the red pill. And I feel like once you start going down the path of knowledge and you go down the path of evolution and the human spirit and the soul, you almost can't go back. And sometimes if you get stuck in the middle, it's a very painful place to be. John,
no doubt. And there's so much wisdom, James, in the lost, you know, like that you recognize that about yourself, that there's an awful lot you don't know. And so you are, I suspect, this kind of lifelong learner. But I really encourage you to kind of embrace your process. I heard you mention, like, people are saying I should write a book and I'm just not feeling that. I would trust that impulse in you, right? This is your journey, and you don't have to know where you're going. You just have to know you're in moving water and not a stagnant swamp, you know? You're certainly not in a stagnant swamp. You are moving, man.
Absolutely. And other people can't tell you what your soul path is. They can say stuff, but they often do not connect their brains to their mouths before they say it, or they want them to feel better. I would also suggest, this is so difficult for Cancers because you're all about security. These are the people who have two refrigerators because they're afraid of not having enough food when the company comes over. So it's going to be
That's my mother. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I think she's
I thought it was an Italian thing. I mean,
yeah. Well, that too. It's a mom thing. It's the sign of mothers.
For sure, my mother, and I was raised like that. But as I've grown and gotten older, I just fell off the edge and went the opposite direction.
Well, just know that you have a built-in discomfort for this kind of change and the lack of security, but you have really done extraordinary work by actually taking the adventure of Jupiter and doing the travel, because a lot of Cancers get really stuck in their house, and we get the hoarding thing we've talked about on the show before, you know?
Yeah.
Amassing stuff instead of actually doing the inner work.
James, listen, you sound like a great guy, and I definitely sense hope in your voice. And I would say keep the education process going. And, you know, Dr. Duffy's available if you want to speak to him. Ann is available. We got to take a quick break. If you want to hang on, we can get you that information. Actually, right now, Dr. Duffy,
Frank,
how could people get a hold of you?
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for everything. And I really appreciate your time, folks.
James, thanks so much. And before you hang up, keep listening, because Dr. Duffy and both Ann are going to give you the information right now.
Yeah, so
okay,
you can find just about everything about me at my website, John G. Duffy at drjohnduffy.com is my email there, and drjohnduffy.com is that website.
And I'm at www.annordhausbike.com, AnnNordhausBike.com. Aren't you glad I spelled it?
So
or you
sure.
can just Google it and find me.
There
I'm
you
on
go.
LinkedIn. I'm on everything. And the phone number, if you want to reach me, 773-229-0024.
It's so brilliant to just bring these two, you know, aspects of self-help together and be able to share this with my listeners and have them call in and talk about their life situations and maybe help somebody. I mean, it sounds like we helped James.
On every layer.
On every layer, from every aspect, approaching it from every possible angle, because I feel like a lot of people need help and a lot of people are afraid to ask for it.
Yeah.
And even if you want to call in anonymously, we could do that. That's fine. 312-981-7200. Pat's been holding a long time. Pat, thank you so much for holding. What's your sign?
Hi there. I'm Sagittarius, and I've thank you very much for letting me talk with.
Sure. Thanks for holding so long.
Wonderful people. I hope my phone's not going to die. I could actually talk to you guys for an hour or many, many hours.
Well, why don't we get started? What's going on in your life right now?
Okay. Well, I'm a Sagittarian, and I have been living with my Gemini daughter and her family for the past 10 months, waiting to get into subsidized senior housing.
Okay.
It has not been easy, mostly for them, because I fear that I want to butt in too much.
So you're a house guest right now, is what you're saying.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And they've been so gracious. They invited me into their home, a beautiful home, and I just, you know, want to just take control sometimes. And
what moms do.
I know, and we just clash sometimes. But
I hear you.
I just want to know, when am I getting into my housing? I'm dying to get in there. I'm in limbo. I just want to get in and decorate and just, you know, get my roots again.
Gotcha. And what say you?
Capricorn. Excuse me, Sagittarius, forgive me.
Sagittarius, yes.
You're one of the mutable signs, along with Gemini and Virgo and Pisces, okay, the four of them. You guys were under a lot of stress last year, so I'm not surprised about this timing that you're seeing a big life change here. But in terms of looking at your house, you're the Sagittarius. That means you've got Pisces on your house of home, if you will, in your solar chart, your symbolic solar chart, just based on your sun sign. What's pretty cool is that the sun just went into Pisces, and we're going to have Venus dipping back into Pisces really soon. So there's a lot of energy in there for you this month.
Oh.
So pay attention to that this month. The other thing I will comment on for you, you probably already know this, but the planet Saturn has been in your sign since mid-September 2015, and it's not going to leave until December 19th of this year. That's a couple of years. Saturn calls for you to be very patient, and Sagittarians are another fire sign like Aries and Leo, and they're not always a long suit of patience. So one thing I would really strongly recommend to you, and you already, I'm sure, are practicing this, you're being kind to your loved ones. There's another really important cycle for you to be aware of and be ultra patient. You know, it's count to 10. I'm sure John can offer some suggestions on how to deal with it. There's a really important energy coming up March 4th through April 15th. Venus is going to go retrograde, and it's going to be in Aries. It's going to be in a friendly angle to you, but that is a really tough angle. When Venus goes retrograde, it's great for antiquing and finding bargains, but it's really hard in relationships because we all feel the loss of Venus's love and pleasure. So you might start to feel like the loss of pleasure in relationships. This is when you need to go deep inside. If you don't meditate yet, Pat, start meditating. Count to 10 and give love. lots of gratitude. We talk about gratitude on the show so much, Frank.
Yes.
And this is the
super
time
important.
To be really grateful and look at the past so that when it moves forward in mid-April, you haven't damaged any relationships and they'll help you move.
Pat, does any of this resonate with you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Now, John, okay. Let's chime in from the just the relationship side here.
Yeah, you know, Pat, you talked about control, and we've used the word anxiety a lot in the last hour or so, and, you know, anxiety.
I have that as well. Well, anxiety, depression.
And that's part of the reason that you're looking to take control here. So given what you are hearing from Anne, there is this opportunity here in what might be a fairly narrow window while you're still with your daughter and her family to kind of reconnect with them and heal with them. But in order to do that, I think you're going to have to let go of some of that control and trust that you can create something different with them than what you've had over the course of the past 10 months or year or so.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
And I can try and do that.
And I think the way to do that is to, much like Anne was saying, take a few deep breaths every day and recognize everything in your world is okay right now. Everything is fine. You know, sometimes we are outside of our comfort zone and we convince ourselves we're in some kind of crisis mode, right? And I can feel that in your voice a little bit. And if you can take yourself out of that and recognize, you know what? I'm safe. I'm with family. So I'm going to spend some time just connecting with them because this is a unique circumstance that is going to change sometime in the very near future. So allow yourself to take a deep breath, let go of that control, and connect with the people you're living with now, because this is a lifelong thing for you.
There you go,
right.
Pat.
I liked what you said. I liked what you said to the previous caller about moving water.
Yeah.
And not. That's very good.
And Pat, okay. You know, just a practical piece of advice. Your kids love you. You know, despite what they may say or the comments or the nitpicking or the argument, they're going to miss you when you're gone. They're going to miss you when you're not in that house anymore.
And you're going to miss them.
And you're going to miss them.
It's weird, but you're going to miss them. And you're going to miss this time. You're going to look back and go, that was really cool.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
You got it, Pat. Have a
I'm
great
sure
day.
That's going to happen. Thanks. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You got it. Thanks. All right. Let's keep taking these calls. Okay. Let's go with, see here. We got Jerry, who's been hanging on for a while. Hey, Jerry, thanks for calling the Frank Fontana Show. What's going on?
Hi, I'm Sagittarius.
And what's going on in the realm of Sagittarius?
Well, it's fairly fun that we just had a call from Pat, who was Sagittarius, and now we have Jerry. So we get both the male and the female experiences here. Jerry, it's really interesting that you said you have this uncle in Florida that you talk to all the time. That's one of the things that's symbolized by having Saturn in your sign. Saturn represents not just energies, but people. So you can see every planet can bring people. So, for example, Mars is young men. Venus can be women, particularly young women. Moon can be mothers. Saturn is old people, and particularly old guys, which I think is pretty cool. So I would suggest
then there's his wife, Aunt John, who's, I think he's 84. She must be 82.
More old folks. And so you're actually, because of this placement in your sign these last couple of years, you're being asked to step up and participate a lot more with elderly people. And it's just the timing as well. It may be very draining for you at times, and it's really important for you to take good care of yourself so you can be up and good for them. Because as older people get, sometimes if they have health issues or other crises, you know, they need you to be of good cheer and really help them. And this is the same thing we saw with Pat. Sometimes this may be difficult, but you will miss this time when they are gone. So take each moment, breathe, and just love every moment of this interesting experience you're having now. It's an adventure.
Yeah, there you go, Jerry. Thank you so much for calling. Let's keep the truck rolling here. Let's grab Kathy, who's a Libra. Thank you, Kathy, for holding. What's going on in your life right now?
Oh, I just want to know if I'm ever going to have another relationship. I was in a very long marriage, got divorced about 2 years ago. And just came out of a weird relationship with a much younger man.
Hey, now.
And I just wonder if I know.
Love it,
how much younger are we talking about here?
But he was, I mean, he was, I would say, more of a gypsy kind of a person. I hate to use that term, but I think he swindles women and stuff. He never asked me for money or anything like that, but I think that's what he was. So the bottom
sounds
line
like a
is,
Lifetime movie or something.
Doesn't it?
I know,
yeah.
I see the star. Yeah,
you are the star, right? Exactly.
So, why do I attract those kinds of people?
So Kathy was the star of a Lifetime movie where she was dating a younger man who tried to swindle her out of her riches and fortune, and now she dumped him since and is looking for love.
Yes.
So let's start with Anne here. Anne, your sign is a Libra. So what's going on in the Libra's sign that can help?
Libra's, Kathy, if it's any consolation, our sign, and I'm one too, we've had it probably the toughest. And I know, Frank, you think you've had it toughest, and you have, because you're opposite to Libra. But Libra has had a really, really hard time for several years. So if you see turmoil and change, you talked about a divorce that started in the late 2000s, but it really hit the fan 2012 to 2015. That's what we were talking about earlier with the Uranus-Pluto square. And if you're a regular listener, you know we've talked about that.
Yeah.
I will say this is a banner year for you and for all of us.
Really?
Jupiter is in our sign this year. Jupiter is the bringer of expansion on all planes. Now, the trick with this, of course, is you got to focus on what you want to expand. Very, very important. I will also say that our planet is Venus, and Venus is in Aries right now, and that is not a comfortable place for our planet, because that's, you know, Aries is the war sign and Venus is, you know,
comes back
Libra
to Aries,
is
man.
The
what,
peace sign.
What's up with that?
Because you're the first sign and you're fiery going, and you talk a lot.
What's that, Kathy?
I said, nice going, Frank.
Thanks. Yeah. By the way, Kathy, I am married, so I'm unfortunately, I am younger. I think.
Oh, okay.
But so if I wasn't, I'd be your co-star on that Lifetime show.
I think it's great you had this younger person as like your, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, but your rebound situation, so that now you can be a little more serious. Jupiter can actually bring someone great into your life, but you've got to think about what you want. It's great about relationships. Really important with all this action in Aries right now for all of the spring. Pay attention to who's coming in. Get out there, mingle, circulate, get the energy going. But mostly do the energy work inside of you to see what do you want. You know what you don't want.
I know what I want.
Yeah.
Think about what you want.
And Kathy, it's important to understand, you know, I think it's important. I know it's important for Dr. Duffy here is why you chose the bad boy. Like, what is the psychology behind your choices here?
Yes. Yeah. Kathy, the question you asked before the break was, why do I attract these kind of people? And there's this tendency we have when we're attracting the wrong people, and I put quotes around that, to look externally. You know, like, why are they drawn to me? And what I encourage you to do, why aren't the good people available to me? Is kind of the flip side of the question, right? Why am I not drawing the man that I'm looking for in my life to me?
Right.
And so I hang on this word available pretty frequently when I think about relationships, because people often ask me, why aren't the people I want available to me? And I usually say, think about for a second. I'm going to ask you to do this, Kathy, now. Think about whether you are available fully to yourself, or are you driven to some degree by fear or judgment or your own sense of ego about the nature of the relationships that you're drawing to yourself? And if you can say, there's an element of fear here, there's an element of judgment, there's an element of ego, then invariably you're going to draw the wrong guy. He might be, you know, pretty hot and younger, but he's going to be the wrong guy. If you can put some of those things to rest and be available to yourself fully and really attend to what you are drawing to yourself, then I suspect the right man comes along fairly readily. You know, I think it's an internal process, not an external process, that you need to engage in.
And for timing, the time to do this work was when Venus is retrograde. That's going to start March 4th and go till April 15th. That's the best time to start meditating if you don't know, do it yet. And to do this inner work that John just talked about, that is crucial. You won't manifest on the outer if you don't have it clear on the inner.
Yep. Kathy, and listen, there's nothing wrong with an occasional spicy meatball. Just as a former bad boy myself, I can tell you there's nothing wrong with that. But just know that, you know, you're going to dinner once or twice and you're going to go back to your normal diet after that.
Right.
You know what I mean? All right, Kathy.
I'll keep that in mind.
All right, enjoy your day. Enjoy yourself, Kathy. Take care. All right, you got it. Okay, we have time for one more call here. Let's see. We'll go with Denise, who wants to know about her job situation. Denise, you're a Libra, right?
Yes.
So tell us about what's going on.
After 32 years, my job was eliminated, and they gave me something that I couldn't really handle because I have poor eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel that they were being totally fair There is a chance that I could get back with the company under another job, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure it's going to work out.
Do you want to go back to work at that company?
Well, it's a job. I'm 64, and I just want to work a little bit longer. I do have a part-time job, too, but I just wanted to work a little bit longer because I have some health issues, and I wanted to get the insurance.
So, Denise, let me ask you a question. You said you're 64?
Yes.
You don't sound happy.
No, I've been treated for depression.
Yeah.
But I'm... After, it just seems like, I mean, it was a smaller company 32 years ago, and then now it got bought out, and it's just not,
yeah,
it's not a family anymore.
So let me show you keep referring to your job, and I'm going to let Dr. Duffy take over because he has the more, you know, clinical experience with this, but to me it sounds like there's something else going on that, you know, your happiness is tied to your job. So Dr. Duffy, if you want to chime in here.
Denise, if you don't mind, I'm going to play a hunch out with you here. Frank had the foresight to ask you whether you were happy, and you agreed, no, I'm not particularly happy. You also said, when talking about the job, well, this doesn't seem particularly fair, and what they're offering me doesn't seem particularly fair. And as unbiased as you can be, I want you to answer this question. Do you ever feel like you kind of adopt a victim mode to certain elements of your life, whether it's your job or relationships or other parts of your life? Do you ever feel like, boy, why are they doing this to me? Why always me?
Well, not really, because there was a time when I was fine with my job. It's just, I don't know. There's a series of things that have gone on in my life, and it's just like, this isn't the worst thing that's happened. It's just that I feel lost right now. And I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what direction to go.
Yeah. Well, so I encourage you to, before you choose a direction, choose a mindset to approach this process with. Because if you approach it with, I'm 64 years old, really this is just a stopgap measure, there's not much time left, then I suspect you are going to be settling for something that is far less than tapping your great strengths, which I suspect are many. And that feels like a grave mistake to me. This is, if I hear you right, you're nearing the end of your career. And I would encourage you to think about where the opportunity is in here to do something that resonates with you, to do something that you might really want to do with the time you have left in your work life.
And as a Libra, what can she expect from the stars, Ian?
Absolutely. First of all, Denise, with Jupiter in our sign this year until October 10th of 2017, this is the best year since 2005 to think big and think adventure. Get really out of that comfort zone. Go take a trip someplace. That's what Jupiter wants you to do. Either travel physically, and I would strongly encourage that because you're going to learn new stuff, or in addition, travel inside of yourself, you know, philosophy, studying metaphysics, any kind of study. Maybe go back to school, take one class, start to circulate, rub shoulders with people, meet people really different from yourself. That's what you're being asked to do right now. And I know it's been tough in recent years, but that is such a Libra comment to say, it's not fair. We're the sign of the scales. Life isn't fair, but it's fair on the mystical plane. And it's really trying to push you towards something else. There's something so much better for you than being sad.
Yeah, I usually try to think outside the box on anything that I do.
Yeah. Well, use this time, March 4th to April 15th, to do the inner work. Just as we talked about with the other caller, this is your time to do what John was suggesting to you. You can get prepared for it now and then really start going, start meditating. Start doing something spiritual, metaphysical, mystical.
And life, Denise, isn't meant to just be lived.
Right.
You know, you gotta take it by the horns and have some joy out of this life. It's not just about surviving and functioning. You got to really go after it. You got to find things you're passionate about and find love in that. And to me, when you know, just listening as an observer, you know, you talk about your job as, you know, it's something that you just got to do. You know, and it should, at 64, you should be finding things you love and finding things that fulfill you and bring love in your heart. And that's really just, you know, just trying to tell you, like, how, for me as a layman, that I think that, you know, you deserve more. You deserve more in your life.
That's what I always do. I just work. That's what I do.
Well,
I have two jobs. One time I had three jobs.
It's time to work for you. It's time to work for you. And don't just work for the job. You know, even if it means finding something like it's, you know, floral arrangement or something that's just different.
Try to find something working with really young men.
Yeah.
They need so much help. The ones who have lost their weight. No, I'm really serious about
that. There's a job
that.
Opening at Chippendales. I just saw.
Here we go. You could bring
I'm all kidding, Denise. Listen, I hope this helped a little bit. Just open your mind. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. We could do this again another time for sure. We could do this all day, actually.